I mentioned we're celebrating lots of things today in the church, and one of those I mentioned is World Day of Prayer for Vocations, to ask the Lord to send more ministers into the vineyard that he would bring more people to himself. Now, this may come as a surprise for you, but I've not always been a priest, right? You've only known me as a priest, but I've not always been a priest. I'm actually coming up on my 5-year anniversary here in a couple weeks. I was ordained with 9 other men at the Cathedral of St. Paul at the hands of Archbishop Hebda. And so I'll gather with all my classmates here in a few weeks over at the Ark, and we'll have a little anniversary celebration. But I had to listen to the Father's voice in my life in order to walk with him into this beautiful vocation that I've received in the priesthood. And oftentimes people ask me, well, what's your favorite thing to do as a priest? Because I do lots of things. What's one of your favorites? And this is a hard thing to answer. It'd be like mothers out there asking you, like, what's your favorite thing to do as a mother? That's lots of things, right? There's certainly things I prefer and things that I kind of put off, maybe. But it's hard to examine one's life or one's vocation and ask, well, what's the top thing? But people always ask and will list things. I know you teach a lot, you're in the school, or you're leading Bible studies and things like that. Is it teaching? Or you get up in front and at Mass and you preach and you open God's Word for the people. Is it preaching? Is that one of your favorite things? Or celebrating the sacraments? You know, bringing married couples in front of the altar and witnessing those unions, or forgiving sins in the confessional, or lifting up the bread and wine at Mass and allowing the Lord to transform them through my hands into Jesus' very body and blood. Is it one of those sacramental moments? Or maybe it's getting to boss people around a lot. I mean, that's an option. Getting to call the shots. Raising lots of money, like we did last night at the spring dinner. Is that one of your favorite things? Certainly some of these things are not my favorites. Now, bossing people around, that's a contender. I'm the youngest child in my family. So I never got to call the shots. Maybe you older children out there, oldest in your family, you know, you've been doing that your whole life. I had to wait until I became a priest to call the shots. But certainly there are things I prefer and certainly some things that are harder, that are more challenging. But if I were to examine, and I've done this, and all the things that I do and all the things that I bear in my priesthood and ask, what's one of those top things? I would have to say one of the top things is being able to introduce someone into a loving relationship with the one that I've come to know and to love. That one of my favorite things to do as a priest is just to invite someone to know and love Jesus and to share with them my path was just like their paths. That I, like I said, haven't always been a priest. I haven't always been a shepherd, but I've always been a member of his flock. I've always been one of those sheep that had to listen to the voice of the Father, and I still have to do that. When I became a priest, it's not like I just have a direct line now, and I don't have to listen to the voice and discern what God is saying. I still have to do that as a member of God's body, as his flock that he shepherds. But then one of the roles I have in ministering and shepherding is helping others do that too. Helping others listen to the voice of God. Because it's not always clear, is it? It's not always clear what God's voice sounds like. He doesn't often speak English. He doesn't often speak the language that we know. He speaks perhaps another language. And it's helping people understand what that language of God really sounds like and how we understand him. I'm in spiritual director training. I probably mentioned that to you before. Just completed year one, and I've got two more to go. Actually, after Mass today, I get in a car and I drive to Chicago for the week for just some more training of helping people listen to the voice of God. And one of the images that they've given to us in our training is that as a shepherd, as a director, it's not always you speaking. Like, if you had an image of someone who's trying to listen to the voice of the Lord, the director's not like between that person and God. It's not like I am always have to be the one speaking on God's behalf. I'm not always the person in between, and that when my voice is heard, then God's voice is heard. That's actually an impoverished view of my priesthood, an impoverished, poor view of what I do as a priest, if I'm just in between people and God. But really, I want to be beside people. Because if only people hear God when I speak, well then, when I'm not speaking, they're not hearing. And so really, one of the beautiful things I get to do as a priest is to teach people, to show them how they listen to God. And certainly I do that by giving examples in my own life, and I listen with them. Even sometimes I'll be in conversation with someone and I'll pause and say, let's just listen to what the Father might be saying to you right now. And then just sitting in that silence with the person and helping train their ears to hear his voice. That it's not me just coming in and solving problems in their lives or trying to fix them, but listening to what God wants to speak and helping them listen to his voice. And then affirming when they say something, maybe he's saying this. And then as a shepherd, I can say, yep, that sounds like God. That sounds exactly like something he's saying to you right now. Or if they say something that's way off, to say, I'm not so sure. I don't think God would try to shame you in this moment. I don't think God would try to wave his finger at you right now. And so trying to correct those things in people's lives so that they would be listening for his voice. And as I said, we're not always sure what his voice sounds like. So how do we hear it? How do we hear the voice of the shepherd in our lives if we're not exactly sure what its characteristics are? And so I just want to give you two characteristics of God's voice today, so that as you listen and discern and pray in your own lives, and you have to pray. I can't be the one just praying for you. You have to be doing it. And as I listen and pray, how might I hear and recognize his voice? Two characteristics of God's voice. His voice is always true, and it's consistent. It's truly consistent. He never contradicts himself. He never speaks anything false. He's always true to his word. That's one characteristic of God. He's true, and he never errs, and he's always faithful and always consistent. And so as I'm listening for his voice, that's one thing I always want to listen for. Is this consistent with what God has said in the scriptures? Is this consistent with something that he's spoken always to the church? Is this something that's true? And if it's true, okay, then I can trust this. I can trust this because he's true to his word. He never errs. He's always consistent. And so I can listen to this and I can believe it and I can obey it. That's one characteristic of his voice. And the second, it's always loving. God's voice is always love. And so if something is being spoken to us that's not love, not God. Love and truth. Love and truth. Truth and love. We can never divorce these. Truth and love are conditions and characteristics of God's voice, always and everywhere. And so we can take it to the bank. If he's speaking something to me that's true and something that's loving, I can believe it. I don't have to worry about if this is God's voice or not. Now, certainly that might look different in different circumstances. I'm going to have to evaluate facts and, like I said, judge them against what God has always said. But it's really that simple. If it's true and it's loving, then it's what God is speaking to me right now. And so as a priest, I get to help people listen for that and help affirm and correct sometimes when it's not something true or not something that's loving. And this is how the shepherd wants to invite his sheep into greater protection, into greater freedom. The shepherd wants his sheep to be free, that we're free to listen to him and believe in him and follow him. That's what the shepherd always desires for his sheep, to have a freedom that we don't have to worry and fear, but to be free in who we are and listening to his voice in our lives. Certainly his word might be restrictive sometimes. Even think of the example of a shepherd with physical sheep. That shepherd is going to put perhaps restrictions on his sheep to say, stay here in my protection. But this place of truth and this place of freedom and this place of love is what will be good for you. And this place will lead you to greater peace. It'll lead you to greater security. Even we think of that Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. He fills in me anything that's lacking. He leads me by peaceful waters. He refreshes my soul. And the Lord does this by sometimes placing restrictions and inviting us into that freedom of just being with him and not a fear of where to turn. This freedom, I think we see in our readings today. Paul and Barnabas, they're free in the Acts of the Apostles to go forward as followers of Christ, as members of God's flock. And it leads them to persecution. It leads them to sometimes a place of being rejected. But still they have a freedom and they have a joy in being in that place. Even today, after they're rejected and persecuted, it said they walk away rejoicing that they were members of God's flock. And so that's a characteristic that we can always take to the bank. He'll protect us. He'll give us joy, even if his word might lead us to challenging places. Because Jesus himself is not only shepherd, he's also the lamb. He's the one who's gone before us. He's the one who has been rejected. Even in our reading today from the book of Revelation, he's the one in heaven on the throne. He's on the altar. He's the lamb of sacrifice. And that line from our reading that it is the lamb who will shepherd them. Jesus himself, the priest and the victim, he's the one who teaches us and shows us the way to greater trust, to greater freedom, to greater sacrifice. And so he's always paved a way for us that if we're willing to listen to his voice and we're willing to follow him, even when things are difficult, that we can have that peace and security of being in his flock. And specifically, I want to speak to our younger brothers and sisters today who are just confirmed, who were invited more deeply into the Father's heart through that great sacrament of confirmation, that the Lord desires you. He desires greater relationship with you, that you would always be listening to his voice so that you could follow him with greater faith. I know it was a few months ago we played a game or did some activity downstairs, and I remember some of you were blindfolded and you had to listen for the voice of your friend who was calling your name. You remember that? And then the rest of us were gathered in a circle around you, and we were shouting and trying to distract you with our voices, but you had to listen really closely to that voice across the circle who was guiding you and guiding you across the landmine. You didn't want to step here. You didn't want to step there. You always wanted to step in the place where that voice was leading. And of course, this wasn't just a game. It was an example of how we listen to the Father, of how we listen to the shepherd in our lives, that even amongst all the other voices and distractions that we hear, his voice is above all those. His voice is truth. His voice is love. His voice calls us to greater freedom and faith. And so as you start your young adult lives in that relationship with the Father, always remember that. Remember, it's the voice of God calling me. And I always want to follow Him. If I'm following any other voice that's leading me astray, then I ought to break my connection with that voice and follow rather the voice that will lead me to greater life, to greater freedom, to greater peace. And so, boys and girls, brothers and sisters, let's place ourselves in that place of relationship, that the shepherd would be real for us, that we would hear His voice and always have the courage to say yes to His call.